E7 here. That's an E7 for me.
I'm confused, sorry.
All right.
Well, morning once again. Let's pray before we get back into that reading from Colossians. Our Father, thank you that you have promised to show us Christ from the scriptures. Thank you that when your scriptures are read, you're speaking. So, Father, as we think about these three little verses from Colossians, please would you help us to indeed hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, do have that passage open in front of you. We'll be referring to it as we go through as ever. And we're now deep into the second half of Paul's letter to the Colossians. And I'm aware that a number of us, people here are new, having joined us in the past few weeks, which is an absolutely wonderful thing. Such a joy to have you here. Welcome. If you are new here, or you've been away for a little while and you've missed a little bit of Colossians over the last few weeks, then it'd be helpful just for us to have a quick look back to reorientate ourselves where we are, because the beginning of chapter 3 gives us our context for the rest of the letter, including where we are here. So have a look with me at the beginning of chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 1. It's going to tell us the identity of all of us who are believing Christians, the identity we have, the new identity we have. Here we go, chapter 3, verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. We're raised with Christ because our old unbelieving have died, gone. We're new people, spiritually speaking, and therefore, really speaking. It's not a pie in the sky when you die thing. We have been made new. Praise the Lord. And now, individually and corporately, together, we're hidden with Christ in God for safekeeping until the day when Jesus returns and our physical experience will catch up with our spiritual reality. And the rest of chapters 3 and 4, from there onwards, and it's where we are now, obviously, helps us to set our minds and our hearts on the things above, where Christ is, and where we're hidden with him in God. So the overarching heading for this second half of Colossians could be something like this. You are new people in God, therefore live as who you are. We're rooted in him. Together. So today we're going to explore this little passage in three parts, following the pattern of the verses, as we've been reminded, perhaps we'll be reminded perhaps for the first time, taught maybe for some of us, how we should be together as church, how we should live together as church. So verse 15, together be at peace. Verse 16, together have God's word richly among us. And verse 17, together live God's way. So first then, verse 15, together be at peace. I think that immediately begs a couple of questions. Here's the first one. It's kind of two parts. It's the first question. What does Colossians mean by peace here? And why is that important? And the second question I think it begs is this. Why does the Bible need to tell us to be at peace with one another? So what does it mean by peace? Well, it's there at the beginning of verse 15. Have a look with me. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You see, if we know who we are in Christ, members of one body, his body, then we'll want to live harmoniously with one another. That will be our heart's desire and what we'll be praying for. Jesus has won us peace with God, you see. We've all been raised with him in new life in Christ. We're hidden with him in God together. And one day we'll appear together with him when Jesus returns and live together with him and with one another for all eternity. And that's a wonderful thing. So living at peace reflects our corporate life and what Jesus has done for us. He's won us peace, so we live at peace. It honours him. Not being at peace dishonours him and reflects our old selves, not our new selves. So when we find ourselves not at peace with other Christians, then that's one of those things we need to stamp out. That whack-a-mole thing we were thinking about a couple of weeks ago. We need to repent of it and put it right. Since as members of one body, Christ's body no less, we were called to peace. And as much as this life before Jesus returns matters, and it really, really does matter, as much as it matters, it should also be lived as a foreshadow of our resurrection lives with Christ in the new creation for all eternity. There, there won't be any of the gripes that we humans tainted by sin experience and get into. That will be all gone. So let's foreshadow that now. And that brings us onto why the Bible tells us to be at peace with one another. Well, we've been saved from the consequences of sin. Jesus has paid the price for our sin on the cross and has nailed our sin onto the cross and killed off our sin. However, we still sin, and we still mess up, don't we? So the Bible reminds us that this is something we should think is important and pray for, even when we are at peace, to pray that we continue being at peace. Let's think about what might cause us not to be at peace in church. Well, all sorts of things, aren't there, that are the potential causes of not being at peace. Change is a big one. Over time, churches change. And that necessarily means that it's not like it used to be whenever. People we know and love aren't here anymore for lots of various reasons that I don't need to name. That can be hard. And when we come to church, and the person we knew and loved who had been here for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, isn't here anymore, that can make us feel sad. And that can make us look back to the past through rose-tinted spectacles and think, well, it's not like it used to be. And that's the beginning, isn't it, of perhaps thinking, oh. But lots of other things might challenge our peace as well. Music style, service times, building projects, noise of people moving about in church. it might cause us to gripe and moan. That's wrong, isn't it? Different personalities, different cultural backgrounds, different ethnicities. You name it, the human heart could argue about it. Many of us have children. And we just know, don't we, that the human heart will argue about whatever is in front of it. And so the end of verse of verse 15 helps us. It's the antidote. Be thankful. Be thankful. It's hard, isn't it, not to be at peace with someone for whom you are truly and intentionally thankful to God. It's really hard not to be at peace with that person. So pray that we'd all be thankful for everybody in church, every single person, especially those with whom naturally we don't find ourselves gelling. Naturally, we wouldn't pick as a friend. And those with whom we don't always agree as well. You see, being at peace with one another doesn't mean being everybody's bestest friend. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean agreeing with everybody else all the time. But it means being peaceful, being kind-hearted with one another, to one another, among ourselves. It means knowing who we are, doesn't it? United by Christ in one body together. Living out in our relationships together the peace Jesus has won for us and given to us. So together, be at peace. Secondly, together, have God's word richly among us. Richly is a good word, isn't it? Verse 16. Let the message, literally logos, word, of Christ dwell among you richly. You see, this is how we're rooted and established more and more in Christ together. The word of Christ, the Bible, which is his message, dwells among us. If that's happening, then we'll be growing roots down into him and maturity more and more up into him. When together we're saturated in the word of Christ, when we're taught it, then our hearts and our minds will be more and more set on the things above where he is, set on Jesus himself. And this happens when we're taught, when we teach one another about Jesus. That's not just teaching from the front like this. This is a one another thing. There are formal occasions like Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesday mornings, in growth groups, at Faith on Friday, at the beginning of every prayer gathering, at the beginning of every church council meeting, lots of other places. There's a formal time of let's open the Bible. What does it say? Let's find out together. But then there's lots of even more informal opportunities to do this with one another, among one another, isn't there? In families, in couples, in friendship groups, just among friends on a text message or a WhatsApp or something. A bit of chat before a church service, a bit of chat afterwards, over a coffee at Costa or wherever. Doesn't mean sitting down and giving somebody a lecture. That's probably not appropriate. But just the general encouraging chat. Our hearts and minds are set more on Christ when we're taught, but also when we're admonished by a godly Christian. Now, the word admonish has got a bit of a bad press, hasn't it? Doesn't it feel a little bit harsh, a little bit aggressive to you, maybe, that word, admonish? It's helpful then to think, what does the Bible mean by this word? It means to advise, and when necessary, gently warn. That's very different from being harsh, isn't it? That sounds kind and loving. So it's a helpful thing, because when we're admonished in the biblical sense from the word of Christ, we're helped to stay on track with him. And the third way Paul tells us to have the word dwell richly among us is through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, spiritual songs. I think those three words are that different ways of talking about songs and hymns that are inspired by the Holy Spirit's message that we find in the scriptures, in the Bible, in God's message. So sing songs which are about Jesus, about God, that are about our relationship with him and with one another. By the way, do please vote for your favourite five by the end of the month. By the end of the month, so that we can give the musicians enough time to practice what they are, and we'll sing the most popular ones on the 31st of August. We're very careful here to choose songs and hymns that are accurate to God's words, that drench us in God's words, that prepare us to hear the day's Bible reading and the day's theme of the sermon, that then help us to process what it is that we've read, that we've heard, that we've learned, that we've been reminded of. You see, it's all about letting the word of Christ dwell richly among us as we sing together. So together be at peace, together have that God's words dwell amongst us richly. Finally, together live God's way. The instruction to the church there is unequivocal, isn't it? Whatever, that's a big word, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Of course, if we're saying or doing something in the name of Jesus, it better be, to the best of our knowledge, absolutely in line with his message, with his words. Everything should match up to that plumb line, whether it's said or done. The way we conduct ourselves, and Christians haven't always got that right, just look at recent or further back church history. How we love one another, the priorities we have, the things we say and how we say those things, how our services are run, what we spend our personal and corporate money on, how we use our buildings, when we contend for the faith and how we contend for the faith, and countless other things, whatever. It really is all-encompassing, isn't it? Whatever we do needs to be in the name and therefore in line with the Lord Jesus. You see, Paul knows that this might cause us to grumble a bit. He's well aware that what people can get like, presumably himself as well, because otherwise he wouldn't have written it. You know, do we have to? Well, yes. Can we instead? Well, no. Because saying and doing all things and only things in the name of the Lord Jesus keeps our hearts and our minds clearly focused on him. It helps ourselves and helps one another to be more and more rooted in him. And so, be thankful to God, our loving Father, through Jesus our Saviour, for who he is and how he's directing us and guiding us. Let's be thankful that we're called to peace with one another. Let's be thankful for one another. Let's be thankful for his word among us dwelling richly. And let's be thankful for him directing whatever we do. Let's be thankful together. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, we praise you for your kindness and your goodness to us. Please help us to always be at peace with one another, to guard that peace when we have it, as we mostly do. Please help us to have your word dwell richly among us. In church, at home, wherever we have opportunity, please would you shower us with the good news of your message. And please help us in whatever we're doing, whether it's speaking or doing, to do it all in the name of and in line with the Lord Jesus. And we ask this in his mighty name. Amen. Oh, we're going to sing in response to that. This is a song that I think many of us will know. Some of us might not know, but that's all right. It's a song by Matt Redman. We sing a good number of Matt Redman songs. And it's a song where we are offering up our lives. Whatever we do, we're offering up to him. So let's stand to sing. I'll offer up my life. We do indeed give you great thanks. We owe you so much thanks for all that you have done for us. Please keep us always thankful and rejoicing in your name. Amen. Well, please do be seated, and Andrew's going to come and lead us in prayer.
We have four prayers this morning, and at the end will be said Amen if you agree and would like to make it yours. In your holy word, Heavenly Father, you ask us to pray for our country, as well as leaders in both the Church of England, as well as those elected to Parliament. We also include King Charles III. We continue to pray and bring before you, Heavenly Father, asking for blessings for the work of the Christian Institute as well as Keswick Ministries, including the True Apostolic Church of England and all Bible-based ministries that focus on your holy word and brought to us by the prophets and especially Jesus. All authority, dominion and power has been given to Jesus when he returned to heaven to sit at your right hand. Unity is central to your holy word. Help us to strive to bring this about through our words and actions, to bring honour to you, to Jesus, as well as your Holy Spirit. There are so many conflict areas in your world, Heavenly Father, and we pray for the leaders and the people of Syria, Russia, Ukraine, Yemen, Iran, Lebanon, Nigeria, Myanmar, Israel, as well as Palestine. We pray for peace and those that are seeking to bring this about. We would ask that the loss of life and the dignity of people will triumph over self-interest and economic gain. Jesus in Mark 8 tells us, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" Again, we would ask for your protection and peace for all your people in these and many other difficult conflict areas, that hatred does not triumph over your love for your world, so clearly shown on the cross of Calvary. Amen. A prayer for our mission partners at Caring for Life. For many years, we have continued to pray and support your work on this farm, Heavenly Father, adjacent to the Leeds and Bradford Airport. We give great thanks for the way that you have cared for and provision of both the supporters and those that are being helped. This includes the work of the farm, the development of the assisted living accommodation, the plant nursery together with the cafe, and the provision of the restaurant, which enables supporters, staff and those being helped to engage more fully with learning and participation by being focused around your holy word. They ask us, Heavenly Father, to pray that and to thank you for all those who went away on the Lake District retreat in May and for the fun they had. There was real spiritual interest following the Bible study. Please pray for those who heard the gospel and were moved that they would seek and find Jesus as Lord. Please pray for beneficiaries who are anxious and distressed about the changes in benefits and what the future holds. We pray that they support people practically through this process, that we can point them to the one who holds the future, and they would put their trust in the Lord. They also ask that we thank the Lord for the equestrian project and for all those who took part in it, praying that those that attended various agricultural shows with the horses over the summer months, this will be a wonderful time for all involved in the preparation and fun. Also, to thank the Lord for his amazing faithfulness, thanking him for the opportunities he gives at Caring for Life to share his love and the gospel, and pray as they move forward that they will trust his holy name all the more and rejoice at the work of his hands. On the 5th of July this year, there will be an all-ticket open day for patrons, and we ask that all places are filled and that new money is generated to support this very worthwhile charity and the excellent initiatives that have been started in the lives of people that require help. Amen. A prayer for our young people. We would like to continue and seek your guidance, Heavenly Father, together with the wisdom of heaven, for our Sunday school activities, Little Stars, Launchpad, Rockets, Impact, Ignite, together with the many family activities and opportunities which you are giving to the Sunday school, to Laura, Suzanne, Sally, John and Ash through the school's ministries. We continue to pray for the wonderful Easter Holiday Club and the great encouragement brought to us all by becoming epic explorers into the life of Jesus. We continue to ask that this will go with all of us throughout our lives and that we can all influence other family members. We all give you great thanks and praise for the growing numbers both here as well as other Bible-based ministries as we all seek to bring honour to you, to Jesus and to your Holy Spirit. Amen. A prayer of thanks. We are very privileged that we all receive blessings from the preaching of your holy word Sunday by Sunday, as well as the many activities throughout the week. We continue to pray for the strengthening of our pastoral team with Ash and Phoebe to support our fellowship, including older members. In addition, we continue to pray for the chapter of the Bible-believing Christian ministers operating in our diocese by asking that you would strengthen their numbers as well as position and standing. In our prayers, we would ask for your guiding and leading for our PCC, particularly for the next meeting on Monday the 16th of June. In a moment of silent prayer, we would like to bring before you, Heavenly Father, people and situations known to us for which we would seek your help. Lord, we bring all our prayers before you in the name of our wonderful Saviour, Jesus. Amen. We conclude our prayer time together and we join in the family prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, we come to the point where we're about to sing our final hymn together. It's a hymn that kind of drills right down into who we are in Christ. We're one with Jesus. We're loved and we're cherished. We're his body and we have union with him. And the Bible talks about his faithful church as the bride of Christ. We have that intimacy with Jesus that we are united with him, just as a husband and wife are united together. So let's stand to sing, one with Jesus, loved and cherished, chosen as his holy bride. Wonderful to know who we are in Christ, isn't it? And to have that really in the front of our minds. Don't forget, we're back here at 6 for 6:30 tonight. You can come at 6 if you want. You can come at 6:29 and a half. You can come at 6:35 if you want. That's fine. And we're back again here next Sunday morning, 10:45, for a service of Holy Communion. Let's pray this final prayer together. Holy Spirit, sent by the Father, ignite us in your holy fire. Strengthen your children with the gift of faith. Revive your church with the breath of love. And keep us united in the gospel of Christ. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You can hear that tea and coffee nearly served. So after that, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Please do be seated.